Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
The FU tribe. Oh, Lord. Is that what you're talking about on a Monday?
You know what? I actually got flipped off when I was over in the Whole Foods parking lot. I was sitting in my truck and somebody came by in their car and both of them flipped me off. And I was like, y'all don't know if I'm from Florida? Really?
It's because they're angry people who spent their whole paycheck on overpriced foods at Whole Foods. And they should have been over at Publix like normal people. But no, or Albertsons, that they were saving some money, right?
You know what? They were just getting some healthy food and they were mad about that. They're like, where's the Cheetos?
That place is expensive. Let's just call it what it is. One of my favorite names of that place is Whole Paycheck, because it is. That's what it costs.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Oh, see, but you know.
That's why
you're going to defend Whole Foods, really? Is that how we're starting off a Monday? You're going to defend that overpriced place?
Hey, you know what? I used to like the experience. Now I don't like grocery stores in general.
You're like, I don't like to go because they want me to wear a mask and give in to the oppression of the government.
You know, it's just a weird thing having people. This whole pandemic thing is very strange, having people around. It's unnerving. And I don't like that. That's the worst part for me. It's not even the sickness. It's just like, I don't feel comfortable. And that's,
you realize that's part of what the master plan is here, right? It doesn't take a lot of conspiracy theory to realize we've turned on each other. We don't want to have people around us, which that gives you peace and general endorphins and good feelings. And physiologically, it takes 10 hugs a day to be healthy. Nobody's getting 10 hugs a day right now. So people are unhealthy and angry. And then all these mask mandates, the only people enforcing it are people on people. It ain't the LEOs enforcing it. It's interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah, people are definitely turning on each other. Like, I noticed that just innate thing. I'm like, this isn't even, like, what is this? The fear is a very interestingly scary thing to be like, pushed into us. I know.
And what are we afraid of? Like, I think we were all afraid at first because it was unknown. And now we know enough to realize that if it's really been with us only 6 months, which I think coronavirus has been with us longer, you have a 99.999% chance of not dying from it when you look at the time frame added to the population. So why in the world are we still panicked? Why are we keeping our kids out of school? It's very sketch.
It totally is. Good cover story for the banking system being as corrupt as it is.
Dude, everything's corrupt. This is the deep state, man.
Oh, yeah.
Deep state. Woo! And so the whole banking system for years has been running things. It doesn't take a lot of deep looking to find it.
It's a good cover story, though. I mean, they can say, hey, it was the coronavirus. It wasn't us that was jacking this thing up.
Well, you know who paid for the Wuhan lab, right?
I mean, other than Fauci with his thing?
Everything is follow the money. The Obama administration paid for that.
Oh, from funding earlier?
Follow the money.
Yeah.
You know, Fauci stands to make millions on a vaccine, and so does Bill Gates. They're testing it on poor people in Africa who don't really have a say in the matter.
That's shocking.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're here to talk about crazy shit in real estate. And hey, welcome to the show. You know, I record all this, and so it goes on YouTube. And so I'm pretty sure this episode's about to go wildly viral. Like, Lee Brown is talking conspiracy theories, but people, open your minds up. This is not even conspiracy. This is some weird shit. It's like coronavirus is common core math because nothing adds up.
Common core math.
So, Damien, tell us, are you in Florida really? Are you at Florida FIU, like Florida International University?
No, this is Financial Underdogs. But you know what? Florida, I mean, yeah, no, it's a
Florida, man. Florida's been special for years.
It's very special. Everybody's kind of invading Florida right now.
They've been invading Florida for a long time, but then they find out how high the insurance cost is and they find out how hot it gets. And then they come back to North Carolina. So all those people from the Northeast, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, they retire to Florida and then they say, oh, hell no. And they come halfway back to North Carolina. So we call them halfbacks in the real estate world.
Oh, that's fun.
Here we have four seasons. Their kids and grandkids probably live here. We've got 85 and 95. They can get north or south. And so they land here. We love them because they pay cash. And they appreciate that our property taxes are very reasonable here.
It's a system.
So tell us about Financial Underdogs. You know, the premise of our show is crazy shit in real estate. We try to talk about the different angles of real estate nobody expects in pretty short episodes because we know our audience has like no attention span at all. So in like 2 seconds, how do you tell people what a financial underdog is?
I just say look in the mirror because we're all financial underdogs. We're not part of the elites. And so we're all fighting the Goliath, and together it's exposing truth. It's about talking about money the way that it should be, and not about the way that people talked about it. Even people that liked us or loved us, you know, they just didn't have the right information because it's being suppressed. And ultimately, if we have the right information, we have a fighting chance. So Financial Underdogs is about giving people that information and then giving them hope.
All right. So what's your background? How did you land up in this space? Are you real estate by nature, financial by nature? Are you just a regular person who said, oh, hang on a second?
I don't think I'm regular at all. I mean, I've been bucking the system since I started out in Alaska. I mean, that's part of bucking the system when you go up there to hide from the reality of humanity.
You watching that show, Win the Wilderness, on Netflix?
No, it's probably the one I'm not watching.
It's six British couples competing to win a mountain in Alaska.
Yeah,
dude, you'll love it. It's very odd. Anyway, go ahead. So I distracted you.
No, we named our own mountains when I was growing up. We had one in the backyard. You know, that was. It's what you do because there's plenty. But my background is in real estate. About 20 years ago, I mean, my first house I bought with a credit card, which is also a very dumb idea, but started there. And you know, it's dumb until it works, but crazy is crazy until it's actually you're right. And so I started off doing that, and then that was awesome. So I did it a bunch more times, different ways. And 150 houses later, I got fairly rich, and then I got really stupid because my ego took over, and I lost $20 million 7 years later. So, you know, that was part of the crazy experience of getting rich, getting the Ferrari, becoming 10 feet tall and bulletproof, and then realizing, wait, the market doesn't care if you're super smart. It's going to crush you like everybody else. And so I had to start over. And that was the beginning. That was like the first decade of, you know, business. And then after that, it was a big shift. It was a shift into something that was more than just money. And I think that happens for a lot of people. You lose the money and then you have to realize, wait, there's more to this game. And that's where FU came in over the last decade. It was really about doing something for more than just me. And that the first decade was me. It was hedonistic to the T. I mean, it was fun. Like, it was a lot of fun. But ultimately, we're in a place where it's about everybody. It's about serving people. It's about contribution. It's not just about my own, you know, glands and my own hedonistic tendencies.
I mean, it's kind of like the president, right? He's an entrepreneurial spirit. He's gone really high up. He's bankrupted twice. He's back up, and now he's serving. I mean, I don't care what anybody thinks about, you know, how he tweets or whatever. The man has given up an enormous amount of money to be our leader, and I really appreciate that. But it's an entrepreneurial spirit thing. You have to say, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? And so I'm curious for you. So when you had this life-shifting change, was the crash caused by you and a Ponzi scheme pyramid, or was it caused by the markets and the change during the Great Recession?
So the crash was caused by my own over-leveraging and just really doing too many things that I wasn't focused on. So one of the books that we've all heard of is The One Thing, and I had 1,000 things. And so I wasn't listening to Gary Keller or really anybody else. And so did I cause it? Yeah, because I made the decisions. So the core focus for me is self-responsibility. And back then I was just blaming, you know, I was like, hey,
That's just crazy talk nowadays. We don't talk about personal responsibility.
No, it's blame, justify, you know, victim. Like, everybody's a victim. Like, apparently you're a victim when you get your driver's license. Just, you know, here's my victim card. And, you know, I was a victim of the economy, of the recession. But the truth is, I made all the decisions that put me into different deals. I chose how much leverage to have. I chose who to rent to and all this other stuff. And ultimately, that's how I learned. Because if I just said it was somebody else or something else, I wouldn't have learned anything. And so on the other side,
what did you do right in building your empire? If you look back at the, obviously it ran up and got way beyond a manageable space because ego obviously does become a part of it. What did you do right in that space?
I did it. I mean, what I did right is I actually took action and went and did it. It didn't matter if it worked or not, because ultimately there was lessons involved in it. But I mean, the funny thing is you can do it right in your head, but it doesn't really matter. And in reality, I was out there in the mud, in the trenches. People go, well, do you have a degree? Are you an accountant? Are you an attorney? I'm like, more or less, I've done more than most accountants and attorneys will ever do because I was out there bleeding in the trenches. It's like when people say, well, what should I do? I say, go find somebody that's been there and done that. Hire somebody. They're like, oh, coach. And I'm like, well, maybe. But here's the difference. A coach has learned something. A mentor has experienced it. Go find a mentor that can see around the corners that's balder and grayer. I mean, that's a big difference. And so I've got the balding mentor look going on here now. I mean, that's just, it's a different thing. And that's, I think, incredibly valuable for us to have. You know, our president, you mentioned him, he's got, I'm surprised he has any hair. I mean, maybe it's hair, I don't know. But he really has been through a lot of crap. And that's, you know, people don't give people credit for that. And I do, I give him a lot of credit for that.
All right. So since you've rebuilt, reshifted your priorities, you're back into a different space where you want to do more service, more helping. What's the big thing that you want people to, that you, they can only learn one lesson from you? You've learned a million lessons in life by buying houses on credit cards and building an empire that collapsed. What's the first thing you want them to learn besides find a mentor? And I will say, I teach that to entrepreneurs and realtors all the time. I'm like, y'all are killing yourselves by not finding somebody who can help you shortcut the learning process. That's what a great mentor does.
Well, I mean, the one thing is that money makes you stupid, and people think that they get to a point where they have a bunch of cash and then they're good and like, okay, now what do I do to invest it? I'm like, well, first off, you got to invest in yourself, because the reality is fuel is just, if you're adding that into an open fire, it's just going to get really hot and burn you and then it's gone. And that's what most people do. They exchange their money for experience. It's not about the money. When I started off, I took negative 6,000 because I borrowed money on a credit card, like I said, and that wasn't the thing. It was using my brain. And most people are too lazy. Money makes us lazy and stupid. And so it doesn't take money. Like if I want to go do a deal now, if I want to do something, I can raise money and I can raise whatever amount of money I want. And people think that if they save up, how can you save up when the Federal Reserve is printing faster than you can ever save or earn? You got to learn how to do what they do, borrow, and borrow smartly. And most people don't, they hide from that. So they work themselves into, well, to death. And so that's the one thing.
So how do you teach them where to find money? Because I do find this is a big stumbling block. And it frankly is probably the brick wall that most people run into, bounce off of, and give up. They say, I don't have a dad. I don't have an uncle with money. And I went to Bank of America and that didn't work out. So they're using the big, obvious traditional paths. You have found alternative options. How does the average person say, you know what, those aren't available to me. What can I do?
The average person, you got to stop being average. You got to go out there and do the things the average people don't do, which is called work for free for somebody that's done it and build the track record of being inside their thing. People say, well, I'm going to go borrow, like those traditional things. They don't want to lend you money because you don't have a track record. And the truth is, if you get money from somebody, it's going to be friends, family, or fools that are going to give you money until you have a track record. So how do you get one? You go to somebody and you start creating value. You don't say, hey, how can I help you? Because they're like, I'm too busy to figure out how for you to help me. Go create value, make yourself invaluable to somebody else. And then they'll be like, oh, I got to keep you. And then it takes a year or whatever. And they're going to, and you're going to have this background. And then guess what? Money is attracted to you because you actually might have a clue. And so people try to jump past that, the experience, and they go, look, I've got a cool team. Yeah, but you haven't done crap. Go do something, be in the trenches for a while and stop cheating. Like everybody's read their 4-hour work week and they think, oh, I can raise money. I can do everything. And I'm like, yeah, you're going to go lose money because you don't have a clue what you're doing. And that's not fair. You're not being a good steward of money. You need to go out there and actually cut your teeth on something. And people are happy to have you work for them for free. And people are like, oh my gosh, no, I need a minimum wage. Give me a break. You're a bunch of crybabies. Go out there and do something and earn it.
Whoop, whoop, preach, preach, preach. I mean, if your hands aren't calloused at some point in your life, you don't really know what hard work is. And I know that people will argue with me about that because they're like, oh, not all work takes physical labor. Yeah, but people who've done physical labor at some point in their lives look at things entirely differently. And so if you're looking for somebody for whom to work for a year, who do you find? How do you pick them out? What capacity? How do you tell somebody where to get started? Because you know, for a lot of people, they just don't have the ability to see the first two steps. You give them the first two steps, they can see the next 20. How do you help somebody in that path? What is your financial university going to get them to go do?
Well, I mean, the easiest thing now, there's so many different groups, meetup groups. I just go find, you know, go to a meetup group virtually now. There's a million of them. You can go into one in any state or country in the world and then start listening to figure out, you can figure out pretty fast who's actually doing things and who's talking about doing them. And then the person that's doing something, just start showing up and serving them. And they're going to be like, who are you? Why do you keep showing up? And you're going to be like, because I'm hungry. Like I'm hungry. I'm like a ravenous dog here. I haven't eaten in 6 months. And they're going to say, okay. And they're just going to keep watching. And so, I mean, really, it's not that hard. Just show up. People go, where do I go? It doesn't matter. Show up somewhere and then leave if it's the wrong place. I mean, people are so afraid of making a mistake because we've been programmed that if you make a mistake, you're a fool. No, you're a fool for not making a mistake. Mistakes don't kill you. They feed you. It's the lessons that grow you. But we've been trained that if you make a mistake, you're a failure and they throw you out and put you into the dark. And that's just not true.
We're also programmed to think that if you make a mistake, cancel culture is going to come get you. And now you're going to be destroyed forever. And that's going to fade, guys. That's really going to fade. And so you just have to persevere through it and realize that 18 people screaming at you on Twitter is not the real world. So tell us what EQRP is and what does that mean, Damien?
EQRP is control of your money. It's taking your money away from Wall Street, giving it to you to be able to do something on Main Street. It's really a shift. It goes back to the whole self-responsibility thing. You know, you can have a 401k or an IRA and you can blame people for it not working. Oh, Wall Street didn't work. Oh, the market is down. EQRP means if it's going to be, it's going to be up to me. Like, you're going to have the money, your retirement money in your hands to invest in things like real estate, physical gold, things that actually are real, that are not smoke and mirrors. And ultimately, it's the Ferrari of 401ks. It gives you control of your money so you can actually grow it. And it gives you the chance to do things like real estate versus just stocks, bonds, and fake crap.
Well, it's what we call diversification strategy. But too many people think diversification means you own McDonald's stock and Duke Energy stock. That's not diversification. Those are both stock assets. And even owning stocks and bonds is not true diversification. You want to make sure you have a wild mix, because as we've seen in 2020, if there's anything we've learned at all, markets are incredibly volatile when the world is incredibly volatile. And so if you don't like being exposed to everybody else's decisions, like you want some liberty and some freedom? What? Being American, you got to think about real estate as a diversification strategy, because that's your property. But then you have to really pay attention to the property rights and how those conversations go, because outside forces can impact, but you have more control over your future. So I got to know, Damien, so you went from having that huge empire with all those houses you built on credit cards. And by the way, you know, a ton of real estate entrepreneurs got their first house on a credit card. They said, I'll take the risk of the high interest rate to get involved in the game, because sometimes taking that risk and paying that extra interest is worth it to start making the building blocks happen. What do you own now? Do you buy single family investment properties? Do you buy multifamily, commercial? What do you buy yourself in a wild market like we're in now?
I'm not buying anything right now on purpose, because nothing makes sense to me. So I'm happily holding things. You know, I'm happy to hold things that are real, things like physical gold, things like cryptocurrency, things that actually I can understand. I don't understand how certain asset classes are moving up right now other than manipulation. And quite frankly, I'm happy to be on the sidelines with some of this stuff unless I'm borrowing a lot of money to go buy it. So I'm kind of hanging tight, and that makes me happy. In 2008, or actually before that, 2006, I had made several million dollars by selling a bunch of stuff, and I thought, oh, I'm super smart. So instead of taking a vacation, I went out there and jumped in the market with a bunch of lemmings, and we all got slaughtered together. And so one of my lessons was know when to take a time out and be on the sidelines and go, something is not right here. And what's happening is we have trillions and trillions that are being printed, pushed into a system, and people are like, hey, everything's going up. That's usually a sign that there is about to be a major correction. Could that take 6 months or 6 years? Yeah. But the reality is, it's being patient is not necessarily bad. Having dry powder can be a very powerful thing. And when people are anxious, they go, I got to get my money working. I'm like, yeah, but what if you have half your money working in 6 months because you lost half of it? And they're like, well, no, everything's good. I'm like, well, you're a fool like everybody else that's jumping in. So that's my take on it.
Dry powder is speaking my language, because, you know, if I'm invested in anything right now, I'm totally making bulk ammo purchases. But regardless of that, I am keeping a liquid bucket myself, because one thing that I learned during the last recession, I didn't have enough available liquid money to go buy houses to do the foreclosures and flips and make money during a down market, because I wasn't prepped for it. And I've learned that. And I know that a down market will come, because markets are cyclical, right? We don't know when. It's like you said, 6 months, 6 years, who knows? But if you don't have some kind of a liquid resource available, you can't take advantage of it. Being over leveraged is never a great idea, but you do want to figure out the good mix for yourself. And so if somebody wants to find out more about how they can learn about these different things they're not familiar with, if they can learn from you, how do they get up with you besides EQRP.co? There's no M, right? .co?
That's right. Now, I mean, that's the best thing to do. I mean, ultimately, for you or for somebody else, if you have control of your retirement money, that's the biggest chunk for most people, is to have actual control of that. So learning about that so the first thing to do is just text the word EQRP to 72,000 and learn it. I'm going to give you information about it. It's going to be a report and my book. So start there. And if you want to have a dialogue with me, send me a human message on LinkedIn, because realistically, nobody wants to listen to a robot. And if you cut and paste, I'm going to delete you. So that's not my cancel culture. That's delete culture. You know, send me a real message and I'm totally going to help, because I want to see people free. That's my mission, to free a million people from financial bondage. And so I'm willing to help. I want to help. I'm glad you guys are watching and listening to this. And, you know, it's up to you. It's nobody else is going to do it for you. I know the socialists say that, hey, it's we're all in this together. And hey, let's, you know, and what's yours is mine. And what's mine is mine. I'm sorry. You know what? Let's go do this together.
No, they just want to take control of everything so they can have the power at the top. Y'all make no mistake about that. If anybody promises you free anything, there's always a cost. The only thing that's really free is when somebody else is giving you access to their experience and information so you can take it, learn from it, and grow. That's a different kind of free than the carrot on the end of the stick. And never, ever forget that where there's a carrot, there's a stick. And that's what Damien's talking about here. There's a way to free yourself and to think differently. It's just going to cause you to maybe have your stomach hurt a little bit, learn a few things, and grow in a different way that your friends and neighbors may not know about, but then they'll want to be just like you 10 years from now. Damien, thank you for bringing your lessons to people and sharing your thoughts. Y'all make sure and reach out to him for information. All of the information to reach him, websites and text codes, LinkedIn, will be in the show notes for this episode, because I know y'all didn't write it down because you're like, holy crap, this is a whole different angle. And yeah, say welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where we talk about all kinds of rando things in different spaces. So you will think, because you're in charge. It's like Damien said, you're in charge of your upshot. You're also in charge of your failures. But if you don't fail, you didn't do anything. So you may as well do something and see what happens next, right?
That's it.
And by the way, if you see him at Whole Foods and he's wearing his FU stuff, don't flip him off. But you should ask yourself why you're overpaying for your groceries. I'm guaranteed to get some ads for that and some ugly comments because, you know, nobody likes to realize he paid too much. But, you know, Aldi, y'all, Little, Food Line, you know, Food City, there's other places to get your groceries. And see, I just slap it on you, Damien, for you were at Whole Foods too. But anyway, thank you for coming on the show. And thank you for being so honest about things that went right and things that went wrong and how you make that shift. Because that's a big part of the human experience, isn't it?
It is. It's about owning your experience. And even when it's terrible and you go, I didn't cause the hurricane or the really trauma, big trauma, it's about owning how you interpret it. Once you do that, then you start to set yourself free and break those shackles off yourself.
There you go, guys. Make sure that you click on his links, reach out to him for more information. And you should also subscribe to the podcast, give us 5 stars, and make sure that you tune back in next time, because we'll have some other random thing to talk about here on Crazy Shit in Real Estate. I'll see you.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.